Well, greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Highways and Byways for the month of May 2005. My goodness, this is volume number 17. It's hard to believe so many months, so many previous editions have been created and distributed to drivers and other folks from all over the country. Subscribers who have Highways and Byways sent to their home and regular listeners, well, they know what this means. It means that there's been 16 previous volumes to date that have been filled with great music and a wide range of styles from independent artists that are not going to be found on mainstream radio or music stores. And like I said, it's a wide range of styles, so there's bound to be a song or two that you can enjoy along the way. And if you hear something you don't care for, just push that track button and move on. You don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater here. There's been 16 previous volumes with humor, special end time reports, a variety of other segments like Road Signs with Pastors Hank and Mary Nuwola, Evolution versus Creation Debate with Ken Ham, and from time to time, even a few thoughts from Yours Truly. I guess I should introduce Yours Truly. I'm your host and your highway minister, Wyatt Timmons, and I'll be with you for the next hour and 10 or 15 minutes more as we try to squeeze as much as we can onto these CDs each month. We are so delighted that a copy of Highways and Byways found its way to you. And if you like what you hear and you want this CD audio magazine sent out to your address each month, contact us through any of the ways that we've listed on the front of this CD. Email, toll-free, voicemail. Go to the website and contact us there through the email link or just plain old-fashioned snail mail. We'll hear more later about how to subscribe and how to get your thoughts, questions, or words of encouragement across to us. Right now, we want to get Highways and Byways for May kicked off with an artist by the name of Betsy Walker. We've spun a song or two of hers over the last year, but this is a new one to Highways and Byways and a great way to start off the month. The song is titled Dear Afterthought, and it speaks about how we get our days started off at times without really looking to the Lord for His blessings on our comings and our goings. Yet, He is faithful even when we're not. As this song says, He blesses us anyway. Here's Betsy Walker.
bless this food I've already eaten. Bless all these decisions I've made. I set some things in motion that can't be changed. There's nothing left to do but hope that you approve, 'cause it's too late.
Welcome back to the lives of incredibly important people. We have in the studio today Theodore Hallister, who will provide insight to the life of his father, Robert Ace Hallister.
Thanks. I don't know why you want to talk about my dad.
Well, people generally want to know anything they can about really important people, like Nobel Peace Prize winners.
My dad won a Nobel Peace Prize?
Yes, General Hallister was famous for his peace treaties.
My dad was a general?
Yes, in the army. You didn't know that?
Well, we moved a lot. I just thought he really liked to wear green. How do you know all this?
Why, it's in your father's autobiography.
He wrote a book?
Yes, it was on the bestsellers list 4 months in a row. Millions read his book, My Life After Conquering Everest.
My dad climbed a mountain?
I take it you didn't really get to know your dad.
God is present and active in your life. Are you taking time to really know him? A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
Messiah starring Horace Moses Yump as Moses.
How's everybody doing? Would you like a chocolate? Because you look real hungry to me. You know, it all started back in Egypt. Mama put me in a basket and sent me down the river. I got to Pharaoh's house and she said I'd have a better life. Next thing you know, they were calling my name. They said, Horace, Horace Moses Yump. I said, that's what my name is, Horace, Horace Moses Yump. That's what it is. Then the next day, I got kicked out of Egypt. Somebody yelled, run, Horace, run. I ran all the way back to the well at Midian. I was standing at the foot of a mountain, and they said that God lived up there. So I had to go up there and see it for myself one day on a lunch break. I got up to the mountain, and there was a bush burning, and it wasn't even plugged in or nothing. Then all of a sudden, God said, Horace. I said, yes, God, that's my name, Horace Moses Yump. That's what it is. He said, take off thy Nikes, for thou's on holy ground. So I did. Then the next thing you know, he said, I want you to go back to Egypt and set my people free. And then he said, run, Horace, run. I ran all the way back to Egypt. When I got back to Egypt, I told Pharaoh, I said, Pharaoh, God told me to come. He said, are you supposed to let the people go? Pharaoh looked at me and said he wasn't going to do it. I said, stupid is as stupid does. So I left for 3 days. And when I came back, Pharaoh told me to take the people with me. And we was on our way. We was leaving and we was going and we had to stop at the Red Sea because we was hungry. We stopped for a picnic. I looked back and Pharaoh was coming after us. God told me to raise my stick up, so I did. And he parted the Red Sea right down the middle. And you know, Bubba was with me. He was picking up shrimp. Bubba said, that shrimp shrimp, that shrimp Creole, that shrimp gumbo, that shrimp salad, that shrimp shrimp, that shrimp croquettes. He said, Horace, I guess that's all type shrimp that there is.
It's a mystery, one that I don't understand. It's how you care for me and take me as I am. Now I know I let you down, it's just my humanity. But you never let anything come between you and me. Oh,
what can separate me from the love of God?
When I stumble and I fall, and you won't look away.
Okay, jury members, we need to come to a conclusion on this case.
He's guilty. There are 10 witnesses who saw him.
I agree.
Anyone think he's not guilty?
I think he's not guilty. His brother said he was with him 300 miles away.
I agree.
I thought you agreed he was guilty.
I did. I don't limit myself to only one truth. I believe there are many truths.
Do you believe the testimony of the 10 witnesses?
Yes.
And you believe the brother's testimony?
Yes.
How is it possible for a person to be in a bank and yet 300 miles away at the same time?
I don't know, but we need to respect the beliefs and testimonies of all the witnesses.
In other words, you don't really want to think this through?
Many people believe that all religions lead to heaven, yet Jesus claimed that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. Since these claims contradict each other, have you examined the evidence and decided which is the truth?
Available now, direct from the publisher, the definitive biography of God himself. Stand in awe as you relive the creation of the world. Witness the compassion of Christ as he dies for the sins of mankind. Experience the power of his resurrection and triumphant return to earth. Sharper than a two-edged sword, keener than the Japanese Ginsu knife, it slices, dices, mashes, and peels the powers of the enemy. Does your life feel dirty? This volume cleans, disinfects, and is guaranteed to make spotless the life stained with even the blackest of sin.
Yes!
Totally self-illuminated, this product comes with its own light. It's secret. It's powered by the sun, so you'll never need batteries.
It's a miracle.
But wait, that's not all. For a limited time only, take advantage of the salvation plan and reserve your place in heaven. On the bestseller list for centuries, this book has developed a religious following. Ask for it by name, the Bible!
Creationism. Now, what's it all about?
Answers with Ken Ham, a popular speaker on the creation-evolution controversy. Now, Ken, have you ever had people ask you, what's the big deal? Why don't you spend more time arguing about more important biblical issues?
Well, yes, I have had people say that. People often wonder why we don't spend more time on issues such as baptism, the Sabbath, predestination versus free will, last days, and so on. But here's the difference. All these debates already start with the belief that the Bible is the authority. Then they argue over what that means. The creation issue is about whether the Bible or modern secular science is the authority on what happened in Earth's past. But the Bible is the eyewitness account of the Maker who was there, knows everything, and always tells the truth. But scientists weren't always there, don't know everything, and make mistakes. Now, when I talk about Genesis, people think I'm just dealing with such things as the 6 days of creation, Noah's flood, and so on. But the real issue is whether we can trust God's word from the very first verse. The creation evolution issue is one concerning authority. Do we accept that God is the absolute authority or fallen man? One of our speakers, Jeff Stevens, was invited to speak at a public school. No evolutionist was willing to come forward to participate in a creation versus evolution debate, so Jeff just gave a lecture. Although this school placed all sorts of restrictions on what Jeff could say, we decided to accept the invitation. We hoped that by showing the problems with evolution, the students would hear things they probably wouldn't otherwise. Well, what happened? Of the 1,500 students, only 400 showed up. You see, almost all of the science and math teachers wouldn't let their classes attend. A few dozen students remained for a time of questions and answers. One of the students said it wasn't fair to show only the problems of evolution without Jeff telling them what he believed. Well, Jeff explained that he would have liked to, but was asked not to. But since the student asked him for his views, Jeff was free to share his belief in the Creator, Jesus Christ, and the reliability of the Bible. You know, it's amazing to see how hungry students are for the truth if only we had the opportunity to be able to share with them as Jeff did. Dr. Kevin Haley was a popular biology instructor at a community college in Oregon. Now, he candidly admits that he was teaching his college students the problems with evolution. By all accounts, Dr. Haley never taught creation in his classes, but because he implied it by criticizing evolution, that was enough to get him dismissed. Now, Dr. Haley is highly qualified. He holds a doctorate in biology from respected Purdue University, and his former department chairman called him an excellent teacher. We even got a hold of some of the evaluations written by his students, and it appears he was an extremely popular instructor. You know, I find it simply amazing that with this kind of background, a professor can lose his college position simply because he doesn't teach evolution dogmatically. Remember, he didn't even bring up creation in his classes. By the way, where were the so-called civil liberties groups that should be rallying to Dr. Haley's side to defend his academic freedom? They didn't show up. Academic freedom, to evolutionists, is to be free from creation and God's word.
There are hundreds of creation scientists worldwide who hold doctorate degrees like Dr. Haley. You can find a partial list of them by going to our website, AnswersRadio.com.
Well, our featured independent artist for the month of May comes from the ranks of IndieHeaven.com, where most of our musicians do come from. She's a young lady by the name of Bree Noble. Bree is a versatile songwriter and a dynamic performer. She's also an outstanding vocalist. She began playing piano and singing at the age of 6 and continued to develop these skills in a variety of musical styles, including choral, a cappella music, barbershop quartet, classical, rock, pop, it goes on and on. And all of this she did while pursuing a degree in classical voice at Westmont College in Santa Barbara, California. She also toured the Western United States during this time with a band. Now, we usually run two in a row in our featured artist segment, but two of Bree's songs fit perfectly as segues, following both the Answers in Genesis and the Word on the Street segments this month. So we give her credits and introduce her songs now. Following the Answers in Genesis segment that we just heard, we have a song called Do You Dare? Then later, after the Word on the Street for this month, we'll hear another song that she wrote called What Money Can't Buy. Here's our featured independent artist for May 2005, Bree Noble.
To the one who hears.
We ran a comedy clip a little earlier where Moses was portrayed as Forrest Moses Gump, and made me think of a sketch that our friends from Isaac Air Freight put together. We've heard these guys spin off from everything from Leave It to Beaver to Bonanza as they bring excellent gospel comedy. Well, let's hear their version of the story of Moses as they spin off the movie Back to the Future. This time, we have them out of the studio and performing in front of a live audience. Here's Isaac Air Freight.
This is the 1980s. I'm not concerned with the past.
Marty, if we don't resolve the past, there'll be no future.
Oh, come on, Doc. Look, if you're still worried about New Coke, relax. They brought back Classic.
No, way back, Marty, to the days of Pharaoh in Egypt. Your great-grandfather to the 97th power. He doesn't want to stand up to Pharaoh.
My great to the 97th power grandfather?
That's right, Marty. Moses McFly.
You mean I'm related to Moses?
That's right.
Man, no wonder I never liked ham. I don't believe it. There's a lot of people out there who don't like it either.
Yeah.
Hey, what does all this have to do with me?
Oh, Marty, glad you asked. I invented a time machine. It's right here in this DeLorean.
That's a DeLorean?
That's right.
It looks like a couple cheap folding chairs. What is it?
Well, you hop inside, Marty, and I'll send you back.
Oh, no, Doc. Let's just wait a minute here. We got a little problem.
What, Marty?
Well, Doc, I'm not a particularly good traveler. I mean, I get sick just riding a school bus. Hmm. Look, why don't you go? I mean, it's your car.
No, I can't. Taxi's on tonight. It's my favorite show. I never miss it. No, you've got to, Marty. Don't you understand? If Moses doesn't stand up to Pharaoh, we're finished. No nation. No savior. No future. And worst of all, no sketch. Maybe that's not so bad.
Okay, Doc. Well, show me how it works.
Okay, Marty. Now, you hop inside. I'll set the dials here. Now, you get it up to 88 miles an hour, and Marty, God be with you.
He better be. I mean, I get another ticket, I'm going to lose my license. Hey, it's not funny. What do you think I got to ride a skateboard through this whole movie for, huh? Let's see if this thing even works. Great. What, you got no gas or something? Might want to lean just a little bit to the sides. Over there with the arthritic arms, huh? Walk like an Egyptian.
I can't do it. Pharaoh's a big guy. I can't just walk up to him and say, "Let my people go." He'll kill me.
this guy doesn't sound anything like Charlton Heston. Excuse me. Are you Moses?
That's me. Do I know you?
Oh. No, my name's Marty.
Hi, Marty.
I mean, I know you. Oh, you're famous.
Ah, gee. I never wanted to be famous. All I wanted to do was quietly run my pizza shops. But then the calls started. Hundreds a day. But I kept telling them, I don't deliver. I don't deliver.
Yeah, but Moses, I mean, you gotta deliver. It's your calling.
Oh, I don't know, Marty. I mean, Pharaoh's a big guy. He'll kill me.
Come on. Listen, Pharaoh's a buzzhead, all right? Besides, God's not asking to wrestle with him. He just wants you to talk to him.
Oh, I'm not too good at confrontation. Besides, I get flustered at the beep of the phone, mate. And they haven't even invented him yet.
Come on, look, there's no big deal, okay? They don't work half the time anyway. Oh. Listen. I don't got a long time here to argue with you, all right? I gotta get back.
I know, family ties and all.
What?
Never mind.
Listen, Moses, trust me on this, okay? You could do this. Now listen. You do what God wants you to do here, and I bet he gives you lots of commandments. Maybe 10.
My luck, I'll probably drop them.
Moses.
Oh, no. God's speaking to me again. You're not going to scorch my shrubs again, are you? My wife had me doing yard work for a week.
Moses, do not fear Pharaoh, for I shall back up your demands with plagues upon Egypt.
Plagues? What kind of plagues?
Well, lots of things.
For instance...
Bugs, boils, blood,
yuck,
and worst of all,
P. Isadora.
Close. Death.
Ooh, that could hurt.
Go forth, Moses. You shall be Israel's deliverer.
There it is again. I keep telling you, I don't deliver.
Hey, oh. McFly! Oh. Here you are, McFly. Listen, I've been looking all over for you. Where you been, huh?
Oh, hello, Pharaoh, sir.
Pharaoh, sir. McFly! Oh. McFly! Is anybody in there anyways, huh? Oh. Listen, I told you to stop calling me Pharaoh and start calling me Biff.
Okay, Biff.
All right, now come on, we wasted enough time. Grab your racket, let's get going.
No, Biff, I can't do that.
What is this, McFly? You telling me that Moses won't serve in Pharaoh's court? Quiet! Another outburst like that and I'll have you people making bricks with no straw at all! Ooh, you are a stiff-necked people, ain't ya?
No, Biff. It's just there's something I gotta say.
Well, okay, McFly. Listen, you got something on your chest?
No! Oh.
Don't be so gullible, McFly. All right, come on. You got something to say? Spit it out.
Okay, Biff. Let my people go!
Yeah, and if I don't, what you gonna do about it, huh?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do, Biff. This!
What's that, the Watusi? Listen, McFly, I don't have time for fooling around like this. Huh? You're no fun at all. I'm going to go find a Mac and Roll kid. Maybe he's got to come like Game TV.
Way to go, God. I finally do my part, and what happens? I'm a big Moses McFlop. Oh, boy. What's going on, McFly? What you doing to me? I look like one of your pizzas.
That's just the start, Biff. Now let my people go.
Okay, anything you say, McFly. Just change me back. Change me back.
We'll see. Now get.
Boy, this is great, God. And now because I obeyed you, all people are free from old Buzzhead. Boy, we pretty much ripped the whole movie now. Except one small thing. Rock and roll!
Hit it, Marty.
Brutes all day, working and a slaving in the hot desert sun. While Pharaoh and his buddies sat around to have a fun. Jehovah didn't like it, wanted to set his people free, but he needed a man to make delivery.
Go, go! Let my people go, 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 go, go! Moses, you good.
Well, God told Moses, well, you're my main man, and you will be the leader of the Jewish band. His people gonna watch those miles around and follow the cloud until the sun goes down. There's gonna come a day they'll reach the promised land if they put their trust upon the great I Am.
Go, go! Let my people go, 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 go, go! Moses, you're good.
Well, many of us can remember Sunday school lessons from childhood that taught us Bible stories in a simple, basic approach. That was about all our little skulls of mush were able to handle at that time. But this next segment brings us a fast-moving panorama of several chapters of the Word in a short period of time. Over the last few months, British actor and author Rob Lacey has brought us his audio version of biblical stories, which have taken us from Israel's first king, King Saul, on through the account of David, from killing the giant Goliath to becoming the king, and we had a good look at the ups and downs of King David all through his life. Now, in March, we finished up with King David's story, except for his death, and then we jumped ahead a bit and listened to Rob's take on King Solomon's word from the book of Ecclesiastes. This month is another excellent example of the human nature that is found in even the wisest of godly men. And as we take a step back to the end of David's reign and the beginning of his son Solomon's reign, we'll actually cover from 1 Kings chapter 3 through chapter 12 in about 5 minutes or so. Now, just a quick sidebar here. One of the many things that I enjoy about God's Word is that God doesn't sugarcoat anything. He gives us good lessons to learn by revealing both the qualities and the defects of character in even his own people. This is really good news. It tells me that even when I mess up big time, God will still use me when I turn my heart back to his holiness and his righteousness. And that goes for you too, my friend. Well, let's give a listen to Rob Lacey now as he brings us the biblical account of the wisest man who ever lived.
King David's past it. He's tucked up in bed, a dozen duvets, but still dying of hypothermia. Rumblings of who's next echo round the palace. Nathan, God's courier, doesn't need to be a detective to work out that Adonijah, the oldest prince, is throne-grabbing. He updates David in his bedroom. The king calls in Zadok, God's rep, and they make it official. Solomon's going to be the next king of Israel. The public love it. Adonijah doesn't. He's scared witless of his half-brother. David's time's up. He calls Solomon in to give him some last-minute tips. Not long now, son, he whispers. Show some spine, some muscle. Prove you're a good man. Keep both eyes on God's target. Live God's way. Keep the Moses contract and you'll be successful. Whatever you do, wherever you go, do it. And God will keep his side of the bargain. He told me, if my descendants keep themselves in line with God's lifestyle, if they're passionate about living God's way, then I'll always have a son with a crown on his head. He points out the unfinished business with some dodgy characters, but leaves Solomon's wise head to finalize policy. King David dies. Big funeral in Jerusalem, city of David. He's been king of Israel 40 years. Solomon sits on his dad's throne and wears his dad's crown. No one's about to dispute it. Back in Jerusalem, two prostitutes are in Solomon's courtroom. Fierce dispute over a baby and who's the real mum. Solomon's got to decide who gets to keep the boy. Tricky. He calls for a sword and makes as if he's about to slice the baby in half so they both get some of it. Of course, the real mum goes bananas and screams, "Don't kill him! She can have him! Please, don't kill him!" Solomon gives the baby, alive and kicking, to the woman who screamed. Her reaction was a giveaway. The whole courtroom knows it's a stroke of genius. And soon, the whole country realizes Solomon has God's wisdom in major helpings. The whole region gets to hear about Israel's wise king. Solomon publishes 3,000 proverbs and over 1,000 songs. Solomon kicks off his HQ building project. 7 years later, it's finished. Awesome! They start on the elaborate fittings inside, precision craftsmanship that even the artist Bezalel would have been proud of. It's a big day when God's sacred chest is brought in, a permanent home at last for the chest and its contents. He also finishes his palace. His profile's huge. His name's synonymous with the two W's, wisdom and wealth. Foreign dignitaries come crawling with their presents, checking out the rumors, asking tricky questions and ensuring future name-dropping opportunities. Even the Queen of Sheba is blown away by his two W's and the God who doled them out to him. Surprise! It all goes to his head. Thing is, King Solomon has a soft spot for foreign women. His bed. God warns him, they'll bring their gods with them and you'll forget rule number one. But does he listen? Does he, heck? As Solomon grows older, he becomes less like his dad. His 1,000 wives slowly erode his 100% loyalty to God. He starts constructing hill shrines for their pagan religious festivals, which at times include child sacrifice. And God is furious. Capital F. He announces the future split of the country into two, northern and southern kingdoms. After 40 years as king, Solomon dies. His son, Rehoboam, carries on with the family business. He gets a bit cocky and the Israelis revolt against his policies, but out of loyalty to David, God leaves him with just the southern kingdom of Judah to run. Jeroboam moves in as king of Israel in the north and sets up competing hill shrines so his subjects don't hike down to Jerusalem and drift back to Rehoboam. He funds an extensive shrine building program despite God's couriers who shout down the plans as blatant contract breaking. All this on top of being at war with Rehoboam, king of Judah, who's also busy winding God up down south. As if in competition with Israel, Rehoboam spends his 17-year reign building hill shrines, disgusting rituals involving male prostitution, exactly the stuff God had just got rid of. 5 years in, King Shishak of Egypt raids Solomon's temple in Jerusalem and cleans up. He lifts the lot. Abijah is the next king of Judah after Rehoboam. 3 years of similar stuff. Then Asa moves into the palace, good and bad. He kicks out the idols and male prostitutes, but doesn't smash up the hill shrines. Meanwhile, back up in Israel, a whole list of naff kings who wind God up big time. Jeroboam's son, Nadab, runs things for 2 years before being killed in a coup led by Bashar. Bashar exterminates the rest of Nadab's family and is king for 24 years. Elah's next up. 2 years in, he's drunk one night and Officer Zimri picks his moment to assassinate him. Zimri lasts only 7 days as king before he tops himself to avoid dying, courtesy of Omri. Omri lasts 12 years and winds God up more than most. After he dies, his son Ahab, Omri's son, moves into the king's palace in Samaria. He marries Princess Jezebel of Tyre and Sidon, and she manipulates him into permitting equal rights for foreign gods. The downward spiral continues and foreign gods push God down the people's priority list. Ahab's the worst king yet. Easy. Then, God's courier, Elijah, turns up.
For those who have never read the Bible, and for those who have read God's Word 1,000 times, Rob Lacey's The Word on the Street speaks the language of the heart. Find out more at RobLacey.com. From Zondervan, discover life in Christ.
She's got the job, the house, the car, the cash, the perfect pedigree. Only the finer things suit her position in society. Her reputation gets her invitations to fill her calendar. But all these blessings are a curse. She's got everything and it's got her. Someday when the party's through, do you think they'll still love you? You're lonely and you don't know why, searching for what money just can't buy. Stock portfolio's got 7 digits, yeah, but she wants 8. She's always looking for a better angle, an image to create. She gives to charity just to see her name upon the wall. Sitting high upon her pedestal, what happens when she falls? Someday when the party's through, do you think they'll still love you? You're lonely and you don't know why, searching for what money just can't buy. You gotta let it go, 'cause someday all of this ain't gonna matter anyway. What money just can't buy. One day when the party's through, do you think they'll still love you? You're lonely and you don't know why, searching for what money just can't buy.
Dispatch, this is Delta 15. I pulled over a possible 10-8-51. White female driving a light blue SUV. Appears very agitated. Please be advised I'm approaching the vehicle now.
Why did you stop me? I didn't do anything. It was that moron up there who pulled in front of me. He didn't even use his turn signal.
Ma'am, please keep your hands in plain sight and hand me your license. Slowly.
Fine. Here.
Mrs. Smith, and your vehicle registration?
What for? I didn't do anything wrong.
Your registration, please.
Oh, hang on. Let me find it. Here.
Oh, I see you own this vehicle.
Of course I own this car. Why did you pull me over?
You have a Jesus is Lord and a WWJD bumper sticker on your car. When I saw you yelling obscenities and such at that other driver, I naturally assumed the car was stolen. My mistake. Have a nice day.
Do people see Jesus in you?
Normally, about this time, we'd hear from Pastors Hank and Mary Nuwola with another road sign segment. However, Hank and Mary are on the road themselves, traveling through a few states and bringing the Word of God to others. What I think we'll do in their absence this month is to run an archive spot from our former radio program that I said I'd run last month. The theme for April's Highways and Byways leaned heavy on the word balance, and it seemed a perfect time to pull up that part of the radio program and add it to the mix. But we ran out of time and space on the CD, and I put this on the side for a later time. So later is now, and that takes us to your word for the day, balance. If I said the phrase, the promises of God, there's a good chance that it would bring up some very positive thoughts about the things you remember God has promised. We all love the positive promises of God. There are books of all sizes and shapes to be found, and not only in the Christian bookstores, I might add. I see them in grocery store checkout lines, right beside those little 99-cent booklets on recipes, positive affirmations, horoscopes, and diet secrets. I've seen these little pocket promise booklets with a list of some positive, reassuring, and happy promises that God has spoken through the Bible. And don't get me wrong, I love to see God's Word get out all over the place, but I like balance. And even more important than what I like is what God likes, and God likes balance. Listen to two passages from Proverbs. First one from 16:11. A just weight and a balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. And Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. We all like knowing this part and nature of God. That is, this part of His nature that wants to make us happy, alive with warm, fuzzy feelings, and make us prosper. Nothing that I could say today will change the fact that God's nature includes all of these things. So someone says right about now, okay, preacher, what's the problem then? You agree that God loves to do good things for us? And my answer is yes, I do agree. And at the same time, I am looking at some examples from God's Word that shows the balance to the promises of God and His nature. Listen to Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Or this one, 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Are you beginning to see what I'm seeing with balance in the promises of God, my friend? The Word of God is so full of examples of balance that we hardly need to offer much commentary. I've had conversations with many people to this point in my life who try to invoke the promises of God, the positive, happy ones, yet they have absolutely no interest in hearing about the conditions that quite often God has attached to the promise. The old adage that you can't have your cake and eat it too never applied more than when we begin to expect God to do all of the wonderful things that He speaks of doing for us and in us. What God replies is, okay, you want one of my promises to take effect in your life? No problem. Just walk in the condition that I've attached to that one, and it's yours. Listen to John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Here is how my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. It would appear that God, like any good father, expects a certain behavior from his children, by the looks of some of these promises. You see, This is when the Holy Spirit can work through us, when we're yielded to the balance of God. That incredible place where while we're yet human, a holy nature is working inside of us, that regenerated spirit within us. What's that? You're not sure if you have a regenerated spirit? Well, I can promise you this day that if you're living a life without the balance of the Prince of Peace, Jesus, then you're living an unbalanced life and you need to let Him fix it now. There's no better time than the present to put one of God's promises into play. And this is an excellent memory verse. Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and if you'll believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." If you don't have a regenerated spirit, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, pray a simple prayer, something like this. "God, I am tired of doing it alone in this life. I'm ready for a promise of new life from you, a regenerated spirit to begin to work in me. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins. I don't understand it all, God, but I'm ready to believe it and receive it. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Regenerate this dead spirit within me. Help me to confess this new birth with my mouth so that your balance in this promise becomes complete. Thank you, Jesus. By faith, I receive your salvation and the balance that comes from being a child of God." Now, my friends, whether you've prayed this prayer for the first time today or simply have made a recommitment to Jesus, either way, take this word for the day, balance. And while you're at it, why not make balance your word for all eternity? We'll return with a closing thought right after this song.
As I'm walking down that fine line, I get distracted by the wild, wandering off into my dark mind, just like a child. With a tendency to pursue self, it's my favorite way to feel, till I finally ask for God's help, back on the trail. Don't let me go my own way, 'cause you have got better plans. You're complete. Pick me up, loving hands, and carry me through this night. Carry me through this night. Ending up in dead end alleys, like I'd never heard. The Bible warned me of those valleys there in the Word. I get a spirit inclination to get down upon my knees of my creation, begging Him please. Don't let me go my own way, 'cause you have got a better plan, oh, to macho company. Pick me up with loving hands and carry me through this life. Carry me through this life. Go my own way, 'cause you have got a better plan, oh, to make my joy complete. Pick me up with loving hands and carry me. Won't you carry me? Please carry me through this life.
Your radio dial is right where it belongs. Welcome back to House of Prayer Radio, my friend, and a closing thought for your word for the day, balance. Now, just before the song break, we invited people to invite Jesus into their heart, whether they were rededicating their life or accepting Christ for the first time. And in case you haven't noticed it yet, we invite people to invite Jesus into their lives through a prayer of faith quite often. In fact, that's exactly what we do about every time we get the chance. But our mission is not only to encourage the one who needs to accept Christ. We also have every intent to encourage and even challenge the passive Christian who needs to rise up off of their spiritual duff and begin to be witnesses to the reality of Jesus, the one we claim has saved us. Is he real in your life today? Or is he more like a religious idea that you accept in your mind, but perhaps the reality of his power is missing? We're far less interested in being politically correct and much more interested in seeing the power of the Holy Spirit being allowed to move into the reality of the supernatural for your life. And you are living in the supernatural right now, wherever you are. Don't let yourselves be deceived. The very same Bible that tells us that we're saved through faith in Christ Jesus tells us that we are at war with Satan. Listen to Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12. There we're told to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The balance we need to improve in character and spiritual maturity will undoubtedly include some encounters with the enemy of our soul and his band of demons. To attempt to ignore this battle is to be unbalanced in our very spirituality. If we cannot identify these attacks in our lives, then we're destined for a continual state of chaos in our spirits. Let the balance of the whole Word of God be at work in your lives, not just the warm, fuzzy feelings. There are challenges, areas of growth that He wants to take us through that aren't much fun while we're going through them. And in fact, they may never be fond memories at all, except for knowing that in the balance of it all, Jesus was there walking with us, or maybe even carrying us part of the way. Abiding in Jesus means that we strive to walk in a balance of His commands. Will we fall short? Without a doubt. Yet Jesus is constantly looking on the inside of us, straight to the heart and the soul of us. And it is there that He sees if balance exists. Jesus already knows that we're going to fall at times. He wants to see that our heart's desire is to gain a victory and to look for the opportunities to share the love of God with another soul that is off balance too. To gain the boldness to speak His name in our everyday conversation. Now, I encourage you to walk in this balance so that you can know more of God's love. And I leave you with a passage of hope, encouragement, and proclamation from Ephesians 3, verses 18 and 19. May you be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
My neighbors to Sunday school this week. Instead of turn my head when they don't speak. Oh, I don't know, I might even mow their yard and quit being jealous of their brand new car. Oh, now that hurts. Who do we think we're fooling? There's things that need doing to make this world what it ought to be. Someone's gotta do it, and I plan to get right to it. Lord willing, and the church don't rise. Oh, Lord willing, and the church don't rise. You know, I'm gonna cut back on gossip until it hurts, and quit listening to those jokes at work. I don't know, I might even witness to my boss. Maybe even find the nerve to ask him if he's lost. Ooh. Who do we think we're fooling? There's things that need doing to make this world what it ought to be. Someone's gotta do it, and I plan to get right to it. Lord willing, and the church don't rise. Church don't rise. Who do we think we're fooling? There's things that need doing to make this world what it ought to be. Someone's gotta do it, and I plan to get right to it. Lord willing, and the church don't rise. Oh, Lord willing, and the church don't rise. And the church don't rise.
This end time report for the month is a short one about our continued monitoring of radio frequency tracking chips. I keep track of and speak about radio ID tracking chips fairly regularly as they continue to be integrated into various segments of society. But here's one that I have to admit I didn't see coming. Is it 666 on your car? RFID tags in Texas? Well, it hasn't passed yet, but Texas lawmakers are considering a new law that would require all cars in Texas to have an RFID tag attached to the car that would alert police concerning the car's automotive insurance coverage. The idea is to use the tags to keep uninsured cars off the roads in Texas. And the move is causing a small uproar, but it seems that it's only a matter of time before these tags take over pretty much everything. Out of Gaithersburg, Maryland, a report from the AP that says, as part of the Bush administration's effort to tighten security at federal facilities, millions of federal employees and contractors will later this year start receiving ID badges with chips storing information such as digital fingerprints. Conspiracy theorists and civil libertarians, fear not. the U.S. government will not use radio frequency identification tags in the passports it issues to millions of Americans in the coming years. No, instead, the government will use contactless chips. The distinction is part of an effort by the Department of Homeland Security and one of its RFID suppliers, Philips Semiconductors, to brand RFID tags in identification documents as proximity chips, contactless chips, or contactless integrated circuits, anything but RFID. Well, the Homeland Security Department is playing word games to dodge the privacy debate raging over RFID tags, which will eventually replace barcode labels on consumer goods. An RFID tag, of course, is a microchip attached to an antenna which transmits unique information to a reader device. Computer scientists and data encryption experts, the editors of RFID Industry Journal, even the makers of the contactless chips themselves, all agree that the Homeland Security Department is using RFID technology. But the Homeland Security Department is very carefully avoiding the use of the term RFID. The department, along with Philips, is also backing a trade group that is branding ID documents with RFID tags as contactless smart cards. Joseph Brohammer, Homeland Security's Director of Authentication Technologies, said, "We'd prefer that the terms RFID or even RF not be used at all when referring to the RFID-tagged smart cards. Let's get RF out of it altogether." BioThermo is a temperature-sensing implantable radio frequency identification microchip for the companion pet, dog, and cat world. The BioThermo chip is a first of its kind in implantable RFID technology. First beta launched in the United Kingdom in early 2004, the company has now delivered and sold to its distributor 50,000 BioThermo chips. Commenting on the success of the BioThermo chip, Kevin McGrath, CEO of Digital Angel Corporation, stated, "With a growing demand for uniform pet identification and pet wellness worldwide, we believe that this technology will lead the industry to a next-generation identification chip that brings additional wellness and home care, home diagnostic capabilities to pet owners worldwide." McGrath continued to say that the BioThermo chip has been well-received in the United Kingdom. As a leader in the industry, Digital Angel has led the industry-wide build-out of an infrastructure of more than 50,000 scanners for the veterinary clinics and shelters. The system now accounts for more than 7,000 reunions per month of separated dogs and cats with their owners. Well, that rounds up this short update on RFID tracking chips and where they're popping up lately. And this is just what's been reported and discovered at this point. We'll keep looking for new developments with one eye. But the other eye will always be looking upward for the return of the one who has marked his children with a mark of God himself. He's coming in the clouds, and rest assured, no RFID tag in the world will be able to figure out where we went when Jesus gathers us up to meet him in the air. Well, what a delight. What a privilege to be able to bring this production to people just like you every month. I trust that somewhere along the way there was a word of hope and encouragement for you, and that maybe a smile or two found its way onto your face. Time is closing in on us for this month, and I suppose we should take a moment or two in order to let you know that we'd love to send Highways and Byways directly to your door every month. If you'd like to subscribe, just let us know. We ask you to consider a $3 a month donation to this work, and in the process of subscribing this way, you'll become part of this outreach, because you'll also be sponsoring two free CDs that'll find their way into the hands of people in hotels from Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, New York State, or even at the Petro truck stop right off of Route 80 in Milton, where you may have picked this up. We distribute about 200 a month by the driver's lounge. Over at the Fuel Island, we put a few more at the entrance there, and even some more at the Little Grace Chapel. And when you stop in at the chapel, you'll be greeted by Chaplain Chris. She's always there with a kind word and a prayer for those who stop in to see her. In any event, if you let us know that you're interested, we'll send the next volume right out to your address. Also, if you'd like to catch up with previous volumes of Highways and Byways, we have archives back to January of 2004 when we produced our very first Highways and Byways, and they're available as well. Now, the toll-free 24-hour voicemail line is an excellent tool for getting any kind of a word to me. If you have a prayer concern to share with us, we will be faithful to intercede on your behalf to the throne room of God. We have an intercessory prayer team, warriors who are dedicated to the call in their life to pray. So take advantage of this and call in with your prayer requests for others and for yourself. You can use that same voicemail line to offer spiritually related kinds of questions or a tough Bible passage for us to take a look at in a future Highways and Byways. Maybe you just want to leave a good word of encouragement to share with others. We can take your blessings and pass them on in a future volume of Highways and Byways. Whatever the reason is, then, we're here to serve as we can. That's what the family God's supposed to be doing, right? Serving one another. You know, if you really want God to reveal His plan for your life, what kind of ministry He has for you to do, you may want to start out by serving others in the simple things, the little things. They add up to the big thing in the eyes of God. Not that you'll earn your way to heaven by them. That happens through your personal relationship with Jesus of Nazareth. Now may God smile upon your comings and goings, and may mercy angels cover your travels. In fact, may the kindness that you bring to someone else be like an act of a mercy angel somewhere along the way. We'll see you in June with another Highways and Byways.
Four preachers met at a friendly gathering. You know, they got together because it's good to have somebody to talk to. And they were sitting around talking, and one of them got this idea, and he said, you know what? Our people come to us, and they pour out their hearts, and they confess certain sins and needs that they have, and they're really open with us. Let's do the same with each other. Confession is good for the soul. And so after they talked around, they said, okay, we'll do that. We will share our hearts openly with each other. First one speaks up and says, okay, guys, I got to tell you. When I'm not at my church, sometimes I sneak off and I see movies that I shouldn't watch. I have a hard time controlling this, you know, but I won't be around my church and I'll sneak off and I'll watch these movies. Oh, no. Okay. Second guy starts out and says, well, okay, as long as you're still in your guts, I'll tell you. I love to smoke cigars. Sometimes I'll go hide out back and I'll just smoke a cigar because I like the taste, and I know my people would have a canary if they knew I smoked cigars, but I like to smoke a cigar. The third one says, well, guys, I like to play cards. I like to gamble. I like to bet on the horses. I like to go to Vegas. Whenever I'm there, I just can't control myself. I have to go, you know, I have to go play the roulette. I like to play these games. They all turn to the fourth guy, and the fourth guy goes, that's okay. I don't want to get in on this. No, you got to tell us what's your weakness. We got to know. We've all spilled our hearts to you. We've been so open. You've got to say, well, I'm prone to gossip. I just can't wait to get out of here.